This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum, good evening, shalom. How are you all doing? It's my honor to speak to you here today. My name is Yasser Qadi. I am the president of the Fiqh Council of North America. I have a PhD in Islamic Studies from Yale. I am a cleric and a professor and the Dean of Islamic Studies at the Islamic Seminary of America. I've been speaking at protests across the country. 2 days ago I was in Ohio State where the state troopers were called in, 40 people arrested. 10 of our sisters, their hijabs were pulled off. So they decided to hold a protest with 2,000 people. They invited me to speak and deliver their Friday sermon. I was there last week. I was at Yale, spoke over there the week before, other universities. So I'm speaking around the campuses that are protesting about Palestine. And I want to say I have never been more optimistic about the future than I am right now. It's great to see so many people of diverse backgrounds come together for a very basic cause. Now, I don't want to give you a long lecture. I'm a professor, so it is a problem. I'm going to try not to lecture you, but I want to give you a few points. Point number one. One of the biggest misconceptions about the reality of what's happening in the Middle East is that you are told that it is super complicated. You are told that it's a really difficult situation. There's multiple views and multiple angles. You are told that there's been conflict in that region for centuries and centuries. Nothing could be further from the truth. What is happening in the Middle East is very, very simple. You do not need a PhD in political science to understand that reality. What is happening is you have on the one side an oppressor, you have on the one side a colonizer, and you have on the other side the oppressed and the colonized. You have on the one side a group of people that have come in from foreign lands and displaced over 2 million people from their own lands. Ask one simple question. Where are the people of Gaza originally from? Why are they behind 50-foot walls? I have visited that country half a dozen times. I have seen with my own eyes those 50-foot walls behind which it is what our President Jimmy Carter called the largest open-air prison in the world. Where did those people come from? Their origin is they are refugees in their own lands. They have been displaced from their own houses that are literally a mile or two away. These are refugees that have been expelled multiple times. In 1947, in 1963, in the 2000s, they have been expelled over and over again. You now have third generation Palestinians born and raised behind a wall, having been deprived of basic freedoms, being treated worse than we treat our animals and our pets. And so do not let anybody obfuscate the reality. What is happening in the Middle East is straight up colonization, straight up genocide, and let no two people have any disagreements about that. That's my first point. The second tactic that is used is to bring up a really awkward incident, and I'm going to say that incident, that's October 7th, and to bring up a political party. But I'm going to say loudly and clearly, what is happening in Gaza is beyond one political party. We are not here supporting one political party. We are supporting Palestinians. We are supporting human beings. History did not begin on October 7th. I am not here to justify or to criticize. I don't care about that one particular day. I'm asking, where did these people come from? And why are there 2 million people locked behind a massive wall? My question is not about one day. My question is not about one incident. My question is about an entire population and an entire people that have been driven out from their lands, that have been stigmatized, that have been demonized, that have been considered to be lesser than human. They do not have a passport. They do not have the rights of education. The highest joblessness rates in the world are behind Gaza. The highest rates of children dying because of malnutrition are behind the walls of Gaza. So that's what I'm here to protest. I'm not here in support of any genocide. I'm here in support of peace, and let nobody else tell you otherwise. The third reality I want to bring up is that once again, one of the tactics they use to obfuscate the obvious, one of the tactics they use is the false charge of anti-Semitism. So let me be clear. I am a Muslim. I'm a Muslim cleric. We must denounce anti-Semitism. We are against anti-Semitism. We will not support anything that categorizes people of all faiths in a malicious manner. But listen to me, I am a Muslim cleric. If I criticize the Taliban for their policies, that's not Islamophobia. If I criticize Middle Eastern tyrannical regimes for their policies, that is not Islamophobia. So then, why is it anti-Semitism when I criticize the policies of a nation state called Israel? There is no anti-Semitism in criticizing the policies that have disenfranchised 2 million people, that have deprived an entire civilization of basic human rights, of basic dignity. To criticize that policy is not to criticize a faith. And how can we criticize a faith when members of that faith are standing with us and amongst us, and we thank God for their presence amongst us? And it is truly sad that our Congress has passed a bill in which they attempt to silence our free speech. And they've equated criticism of a nation state with criticism of a faith. Nothing could be further from the truth, which leads me to my fourth point. One of the reasons why we're standing here today is the fact that our own country, I was born and raised in this land, and I love this country. And this country really is one of the greatest nations on earth, yet still, there are aspects of it that really distress me. And of those aspects is the fact that for reasons beyond my understanding, for some bizarre reason, it is our country that is directly aiding and abetting that genocide. It is our country that unilaterally, do you know that in the last 50 years, our country has utilized its veto in the UN almost 95 times, and 50 of those times, more than half, have been in favor to make sure that no other country criticizes the policies of Israel. We have used our veto for Israel more than we have used for ourselves. Are we interested in our country or in another country? We have given more in foreign aid to Israel than we have in all other countries combined. Every single year, we give billions of dollars. And I'm wondering, we have homelessness problems in America. We have education problems in America. We have so many issues here. Listen, why are we involved in a war that has nothing to do with us? Why are billions of our dollars being spent on the wrong side of history? As an American citizen, this is insulting, and I have to stand up and say, enough is enough. Are we not tired of going to war? Are we not tired of spending money on bombs? Are we not tired of killing and killing? No more money for bombs. Let's spend that money on ourselves for education. Let's spend that money on our own infrastructure. So I'm here as an American to protest against my own country when it is on the wrong side of history and when it is aiding and abetting the wrong side and helping genocide. Do you know that every single large bomb that falls on innocent Palestinians, it is made in the US of A? Do you know that most of the technology that the IDF uses to target innocent civilians, it is made and sold by the US of A? Enough is enough. This is our country aiding and enabling genocide. And true patriotism is not to listen to status quo. It is not to toe the party line. True patriotism is to speak out when your country is wrong and try to correct it to make it right. And I consider myself to be a patriot of this country, and I want my country to be morally superior than all other countries. That's not going to happen if we're aiding and abetting a nation that is committing genocide against an innocent population. So that's the fourth reason I'm here. And the fifth and final reason, which is truly something that should incense every single one of you, the clear double standards that are being demonstrated across this noble country, the double standards of attempting to silence your reasonable demands and to silence your constitutional rights to protest against policies that are clearly unethical. Even if people disagree about the policies, no two people should disagree that you have the right to protest and you have the right that your voices are heard. Why is it that selectively across the country, and I've spoken at half a dozen rallies, across the country, our voices are being silenced only when it comes to Palestine? Across the country, I'm from Texas, I flew in from Dallas, at the University of Texas, the governor sent in the troops against students. 40 students at UT were arrested. 40 students, some of them my own sons and daughters' friends, they were arrested for protesting. The governor sent in the state troopers. Have we not learned from history? Vietnam all over again, you're gonna send an army against your own students? Anytime the government sends the army against the students, history has shown the government was wrong, the army was wrong, and the students were right. And all of you are right here and now. Students, I want to say loudly and clearly that collectively our voices cannot and will not be silenced. They cannot silence the truth. They cannot silence the genocide. They cannot silence all of our voices. They're scared, and that's why they're sending the troops in. They're scared, and so administrations are passing laws so that you are not allowed to protest. I was at another campus, and they told me administration is meeting at night to make new laws that are unprecedented to target the rallies for Palestine. That's so unethical. That is so hypocritical. And we will not tolerate anybody of conscience, anybody who believes in the Constitution must stand up for the rights of our students to protest, for the rights of them to not face violent police mobs, to not face the army being called in against them. So we're protesting for the freedoms we cherish in this land. We're protesting so that nobody ever takes those freedoms away. We haven't seen these types of scenes since the 1970s when the troops were sent in, when students were protesting against Vietnam. And unfortunately, that resulted in a bloodbath, as you're all aware, but that bloodbath was the turning tide and the people's perception of Vietnam changed. This is not the only time students are protesting. Students have protested across the centuries of this country. They protested in favor of the civil rights. They protested against discriminatory policies against African Americans in the 1940s. They protested against Vietnam in the 70s. They protested against South Africa and the apartheid regime of South Africa. In every single instance, the students were right and the government was wrong. Therefore, I want to conclude on this note. All of you, every one of you, you should be proud of yourselves. You are standing on the right side of history. You are standing with the people who are oppressed. You are standing for that which is ethical, that which is moral. You're standing for truth and justice. And decades from now, when there will be a free Palestine, you will be able to tell your children that I did what I could, and I spoke out, and I attempted to influence, and I was a part of that revolution that called for the freedom and the dignity of a civilization that had been oppressed for far too long. So may God bless you, and may God bless this country to be correct and guided in its morality. And thank you all, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضا الرب تعود إلى رضا الربِّ.